So 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we lost Frank Robinson, a remarkable baseball player, a hero, historical figure in baseball, and he was 83 years old. And I'm going to read a little bio and a little tribute to Frank Robinson. Then I want to talk about baseball and your favorite players. Frank Robinson, the first African-American manager in Major League Baseball and the only player to win MVP in both leagues, died at the age of 83. Major League Baseball said on Thursday, an outfielder and first baseman, Robinson was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1982 in his first year of eligibility. A fearsome hitter, Robinson ranks 10th on the career home run list with 586. He won the Triple Crown with the Orioles in 1966, became the first black manager in Major League Baseball history in 1975 with the Cleveland Indians. He also served as Major League Baseball's executive vice president of baseball development, with his focus on increasing African-American participation in the sport. He later served as a senior advisor to Commissioner Rob Manfred. By the way, if you want to jump in with any of your Frank Robinson memories or anything like that, phone lines and text lines are open, 312-981-7200. We are deeply saddened by the loss of our friend, colleague, and legend who worked in our game for more than 60 years, Manfred said. On behalf of Major League Baseball, I send my deepest condolences to Frank's wife, Barbara, daughter, Nichelle, and entire family, and the countless fans who admired this great figure of our national pastime. Robinson was born in Beaumont, Texas, but he grew up in Oakland, California, and where his high school, in his high school, he was captain and state of the state championship basketball team with Bill Russell, who would go on to be the first black manager in the NBA as his teammate. And then Bill Russell tweeted out, "Heartbreaking news in the passing of my dear friend and classmate Frank Robinson. It was my pleasure and great honor to have known him. We all know we lost one of the greats, and we will we have lost a friend. Rest in peace." That was Bill Russell sending out his thoughts. Robinson won his first MVP in 1961 when he helped lead the Cincinnati Reds to their first pennant in 21 years. He hit .323 with 37 home runs and 124 RBIs. Man, he led the majors in slugging at .611. On base percentage and with intentional walks, he had 23. For a 93-61 Reds club that lost in the World Series to the New York Yankees. After a 10-year stay with the Reds that included a 56 Rookie of the Year award, the 61 MVP, and a gold glove, the 30-year-old Robinson was traded by Cincinnati to the Baltimore Orioles ahead of the 1966 season. Despite coming off of a 33 homer, 113 RBI season in 65, Robinson was called an old 30 by Reds owner Bill DeWitt and shipped to Baltimore. In return, Cincinnati received pitcher Milt Pappas and two other players, none of whom came close to the stature of Robinson. In his first season in Baltimore, Robinson showed he still had plenty left in his 30-year-old body as he was named the AL MVP following a 1966 campaign in which he won baseball's Triple Crown. His MLB best marks of 49 home runs, 122 RBIs, .316 batting average, and 122 runs scored. My God. I mean, these numbers are astonishing, man. Helped carry the Orioles to their first World Series title. Robinson played five more seasons in Baltimore and finished in the top three of MVP voting twice more before he split time from 1972 to 1974 with the Dodgers, Angels, and Indians. After concluding the 1974 season as a member of the Indians, Robinson made history in 1975 as the first African-American to be named manager of a major league club while he was still playing. Though paid only an additional $20,000 to handle both jobs, Robinson took the position knowing his place in history. "They said this was going to be a chance for you to break that barrier," Robinson told Outside the Lines in 2016, "open the door to let more African-Americans to have the opportunity to come through it." However, Robinson was also aware of the challenges he would face as the league's first African-American manager. "I knew there was going to be an awful lot of pressure, a lot of expectation, and a lot of unhappy people, because when things were right, fine, but when they went wrong, it was going to be doubly bad because of me being the first black manager," Robinson said. Robinson retired from playing after the 1976 season, but his managerial career was just the beginning. He remained the Indians manager from the 1977 season and was honored by the franchise in 2017 with a statue outside Progressive Field. He also served as manager for three other clubs, the Giants from 81 to 84, the Orioles from 88 to 91, the Expos slash Nationals from 2002 to 2006. Robinson later led the Expos Nationals franchise through its move from Montreal to Washington. Robinson was named AL Manager of the Year with the Orioles in 1989, the same year he took part in history by coaching against the Blue Jays' Cito Gaston for first games between featuring two black managers. Robinson was 1,065 and 1,176 over his 16 years as a manager, and though he never made the playoffs, he also mentored Dusty Baker and Joe Morgan, who would follow in his footsteps. Let's see. While Robinson dealt with racism and segregation during his career and broke barriers as an African-American manager, he said his accomplishments paled in comparison to those of Jackie Robinson. Though the two men were unrelated, they were also often mentioned together. Being the sport's first black manager was nothing compared to what Jackie did or what he went through, but it was important because I was the first, and that meant the doors were open. How long the door would stay open depended on basically the way I conducted myself and the success that I would have. When he arrived in Baltimore, Robinson and his family struggled to find housing in the city, with many landlords refusing black tenants. He eventually settled in Ashburton, the neighborhood, in a house on Cedardale Road. 6 months later, after Robinson won the Triple Crown and led the Orioles to the pennant, the mayor of Baltimore held a ceremony to rename the street Robinson Road for the duration of the World Series. The Robinson family has asked in lieu of flowers, contributions to in his memory can be made to the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis or the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. Hank Aaron tweeted, Frank Robinson and I were more than just baseball buddies. We were friends. Frank was a hard-nosed baseball player who did things on the field that people said could never be done. I'm so glad that I had the chance to know him all these years. Baseball will miss a tremendous human being. There it is, Frank Robinson. Ben, did you ever get to see him play? You too young to have seen him play?
Too young to have seen him play. I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
I did get to see him play, and obviously, you know, legendary. I have a friend who grew up in D.C. and was just devastated to hear about this, because this, you know, you know, sometimes you have in sports, when you follow sports, you have, you know, inevitably there are figures in sports that become heroes, you know, that you really, really, that you really, really love. And, you know, it hurts when some of them, especially with someone, you know, you feel so passionate about. My buddy from D.C. is obviously an Orioles fan, huge Orioles fan. And so he was, you know, and in his childhood, you know, Frank Robinson was just, you know, the man. So,
you know, I was looking at some of the stats, like, you know, on Frank earlier in the week. And what blew my mind is, I mean, most of his years in the National League were with Cincinnati.
Right.
And in 5,869 at-bats, he still averaged a 300.
How is that?
Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, just the numbers alone that I just read from this piece.
Yeah.
Astonishing. I mean, you just like, wow, how do you play that kind of baseball?
And that's just 11 years, you know, of that duration.
Yeah. It's nuts. And obviously, you know, historically important, you know, as we just said, first black manager, and that was a huge deal, huge deal. Frank Robinson's passed away. Well, that brings me to who were your favorite players? Like, you know, when you were a kid, and even now, who are your favorite baseball players? And who from the past did you really, really love if you're a baseball fan? We lost a legend in the world of baseball. And in the world in general. And so I thought we would talk a little baseball here. I've got some of the greatest baseball players of all time here. I'm going to throw some of their names out, and we can talk about them. But I want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. We're going to talk a little baseball. It'll make us feel a little warmer right now because of this ridiculous weather. You start talking about baseball. Pretty soon, you know, spring training is going to be happening, and that'll help us out of the winter doldrums. But I want to talk about you know, your favorite baseball players. Who were your heroes, you know, when you were growing up? I'll share mine, and I know that, Ben, you can share yours, and I know Vic's got a few, too. So, but we want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. The phone and text lines are open. We're talking baseball. Who were your heroes growing up, and who are your favorite players now? 312-981-7200. 100. We'll come back and talk more about this after the break. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, but we're not doing the regular features. The Enchigrew is out sick. We will return with our regular Friday features next week. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Frank Robinson passed away at the age of 83, a legend in the world of baseball. And so that got me to thinking about talking a little baseball this morning. You know, it's really cold and really windy out there, but maybe if we talk about baseball, we can feel a little more warm. And I want to talk to you guys about your favorite, you know, your heroes growing up in the world of baseball. Who were your favorite players? Who are your favorite players now? And all that great stuff. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Send your text or give us a call. Here's Judy in Milwaukee on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, my favorite growing up, when I used to go to Coney Stadium with my dad, was Warren Spahn pitching to Bob Uecker, the famous Bob Uecker,
sure,
as his catcher. And they would put on a show like you would not believe,
yeah,
during the games. And then now, today, I'm a favorite of our coach and manager, Craig Counsell,
mm-hmm,
because that young man is a Milwaukee native, much less he grew up in the Braves organization and the Brewers organization as a bat boy.
Yeah.
And then he went on to the front office, and he ended his career here in Milwaukee, and now he's our coach. And he's been our coach for 5 years, and we just love him.
Yeah, well, he's got a very, you know, he's got one of the weirdest stances in the that I've ever seen. In that,
exactly.
I mean, it's effective because it's effective. The guy is a great hitter, but every time he would come up, every time he would come up and stand in the box, I'd be like, what is he doing? What is he,
exactly? But he's so well liked here in Milwaukee.
Oh,
it's
sure,
just so much fun to be at the Brewer games now.
You know, so what? I'll tell you, Judy. He's also a Cub killer, man. He was a Cub killer.
Yes.
I would dread it every time he came up to bat. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Uecker. I mean, Bob is still broadcasting in Milwaukee.
Absolutely,
and he's fabulous on the air.
Yeah, no, he's
and
great.
The story he tells. I mean, every game, you can get a good story, like talking about Frank Robinson and all the old Eddie Matthews and all the oldsters.
Yeah.
It's so much fun here in Milwaukee now.
Yeah.
You got to come up for a game.
Well,
I know Ron Santo would be, because seriously, Ron Santo and my husband had a beer the other night because I lost my husband 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Judy.
Well, he fought Alzheimer's and dementia for almost 19 years.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry
to
hear that.
And when he went to God, I says, go have a beer and go meet my father, because you never met him.
Yeah.
So enjoy your time in heaven.
There you go. All right, Judy. All right, Judy. Thanks so much for the call.
Take care.
Okay,
all right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was lovely. That was really lovely. Yeah, so I don't know if you know this story or not, Ben.
What you got?
Ron Santo, who, by the way, if we're talking heroes, he's, you know, at the top for me. I was too young to really appreciate, you know, the stuff that he did. Well, I wasn't born during a lot of the things that he did in the 60s, and I was 4 when the 69 Cubs were on there with their run. But he played enough baseball as when I was a kid too. I've seen him play a bunch of times.
Okay,
and then of course he became a broadcaster. When WGN had the Cubs, so I got to actually know him, which was, you know,
that's just cool.
Ridiculous that, you know, that he became a colleague. And so, you know, Ron was just he was just a great guy. He was just great. He had insane stories, and obviously such a big and passionate Cub fan. Like, he really bled Cubby blue. Like, he was the biggest Cub fan in the world, not just, you know, an ex-player with the Cubs, but I mean, he truly loved the Cubs. So, over the years, I've gone up to the booth and talked to him. I saw him at different events, and you know, we became colleagues. And so, at a night game, my ex and I went up to the booth, and we were in Milwaukee. We were at Miller Park, and right around the sixth or seventh inning, we went up to go say hi to Pat and Ron, and we go up into the booth, and during a commercial break, we start talking. And Ron loved the fact that I was Italian. He was like, he's like, yeah, it's my paisan here, you know, so we bonded over being Italian. So we're talking and just having like the kind of goofy, regular conversation that I would have with Ron and talk with Pat, who one of the nicest guys on the planet. And so I tell Ron that, I've gone up to Milwaukee to see the Cubs play the Brewers, 9 times. And they were losing at that time. They were losing like 7-2 or something when we went up to talk that particular game. We went up to talk to Ron.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, you know, they were 0-8 at that time. And I was like, yeah, you know, Ron, I come up to see the Cubs 8 times. And every time I come up to see them, they lose. And he goes, what? I said, yeah, I'm 0-8. And they were down 7-2 at this point. And it looked like they were going to lose the game at that point. And so, and then I told him, yeah, not only that, I was at the Brant Brown game. So, you know, of course, the infamous Ron, no, the whole, how horrifying. I mean, I was there. It was unbelievable when Brant Brown dropped that ball. It was unbelievable. So I tell him I was at the Brant Brown game and that I'm 0-8. And Ron Santos says to me, you can't come back up here. You cannot come back up to Milwaukee when the Cubs play the Brewers. You can't do it. And I'm like, he's like, no, I don't want to hear any excuses. You're a bad luck charm up here in Milwaukee. You cannot come back to Milwaukee to see the Cubs play here. You know, you can't come back ever again. And I was like, all right. So when Ron Santo tells you that you can't go back up to Milwaukee to see the Cubs play, you don't go back up to Milwaukee to see the Cubs play. I've not been back since.
And how many have they won since?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But
we should look that one up.
I should look that up, but my point is that they lost every time I went, and the cherry on top of the whole thing is that I was at the Brant Brown game, so it's just bad all the way around. Me going to Milwaukee, you know, was just not good for the team. Now we were gonna go up, and this is, you know, and my ex and I were gonna go up to see them play. Oh man, who were they playing? When what's his name? The idiot threw the no hitter. Why am I blanking on his name? The head case pitcher. The head case pitcher who threw one of his no-hitter. He threw a no-hitter in Milwaukee, and because the other team was displaced and they had to play. I think they were playing Houston? Was it Houston? I can't remember. Somebody will know. 312-981-7200. And, God, I'm trying to remember. Why am I blanking on his name? He was a total head case pitcher. He threw his no-hitter in Milwaukee, and we were going to go up, you know, to see it. And I was like, nah, this is probably, even though they weren't playing the Brewers, you know, they were using Miller Park, and even though they weren't playing the Brewers, you know, we were going to go up and see the game, and then we missed a no-hitter. We could have been there for a no-hitter, but I took the Milwaukee curse and the Ron Santo rule to effect on that, and then so we missed this no-hitter. And I still can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember the pitcher's name.
Talking about Zambrano.
Zambrano, there it is. Yes, yeah. Zambrano.
Yeah, and that comes from a texter from the 773.
Yeah, Zambrano. Yeah. So Zambrano, who I hated. I hated Zambrano. I hated Carlos Zambrano. He drove me nuts. But we missed out on seeing a no hitter live because I wouldn't go to Milwaukee because Ron Santo said, Nick, you cannot come up to Milwaukee. And he meant when they play the Brewers, but I just, in general, I shouldn't be in Miller Park when the Cubs are playing, because whoever they're playing, whether it be the Brewers or a makeup game with somebody else, they'd probably lose. So, all right. Let's take a break. Who were your favorite baseball players? Who were your heroes growing up? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're talking about baseball and your favorite players and the heroes and your baseball in general. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. How you doing? We are 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's 2:34 right now. And listen, by the way, a little bit later on, you know, today is the 19th anniversary of Bob Collins passing, Uncle Bobby. So we're going to play some Bob Collins audio later on in the show just to pay tribute to him, listen to some of the classic moments that Bob provided. It was great to know Bob. He was such a character and such a great guy, taken from us way too soon. And today, I can't believe it's been 19 years, but it's been 19 years, and today is the 19th anniversary of Bob Collins' death, and we're going to play some great Bob Collins audio later in the show. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about baseball, and who are your baseball heroes? We lost Frank Robinson. He passed away yesterday, so we lost a legend, a historic figure in baseball. And so we're talking about your heroes. Who were your favorite baseball players, you know, when you were growing up? Now, Vic, when you became a... when you moved here to Chicago and you became a Cub fan, were there any particular players that stood out as your favorites?
Boy, man, that's going back to the late 90s. I don't even remember. I do remember the first time I went to a game. Oh man,
your first
you
game.
Were drawing a blank on a guy's name. Now I am. Who's the big slugger that the Cubs had?
Sosa?
Yeah.
Ah.
I remember walking into Wrigley Field. It was not right when I moved here. I moved here in the late 90s, but much later after that, I went to my first game. And I remember walking into Wrigley Field and seeing Sosa at bat, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was just a surreal moment to be at Wrigley Field and watching. He was huge at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was just an incredible feeling. I just couldn't believe it. I had to stop with a beer and whatever I had in my hand and just take it all in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't remember the first time I went to Wrigley because I was a little kid. But I can tell you every single time I've gone to Wrigley, every single time.
Wow.
when I walk up the ramp, you know, and I walk in and I see the field and the scoreboard, I get the chills.
Still, every single time. I still do. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
I can't think of anything I'd rather do in the summer. First of all, the summers in Chicago, I think, are the best in the world. And I've lived in the Caribbean for several years.
Yeah.
In the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Chicago knows how to do summer. And I can't think of anything I'd rather do than go to a Cubs game in the summer. It's just so fun.
It used to be so much fun when I was growing up. Because you could actually get tickets and get in for like $5. I mean, you know,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Now you can't get tickets.
They've gone up a little.
Yeah, yeah. You think after they won the World Series?
Try taking three kids to a game.
No, I know.
Forget
I know.
It.
It's crazy.
But get alone.
But I mean, but there was a period of time when I would just be like, yeah, I'm just going to walk to Wrigley and go. That's how close I live.
Man, that's
I
amazing.
Just walked right out and rock it and walk in.
That area has changed.
Oh, are you kidding? Listen, man. Vic, when I was growing up there in the 70s, it was a terrible neighborhood. Gangbangers everywhere. And the area around Wrigley was terrible. You have to walk quickly to your car.
Mm, wow.
Like east of Wrigley, like from Halstead East was not good. And on top of that, not only was the neighborhood not only was, you know, like the Lakeview area not a great area at all to, you know, with a gangbanger activity and stuff like that, but the team sucked. So that was like...
Yeah, the area's a little better now.
It's a little different.
Now
yeah.
The only drive-by you'll see there is if somebody driving by and yells a cuss word out the window.
Well,
that's about the extent.
We moved away from that area in 1983, so it was right before the 84 season, and that's when everything changed. That's when the neighborhood changed because they almost went to the World Series. I'd like to punch Steve Garvey right in the mouth. They almost went to the World Series in 84. It was a great season. And so, again, the ticket prices went up, and the popularity of the Cubs was really high. And that's when things started to change. Right in the 80s, it became Wrigleyville. It was no longer just Lakeview because it used to just be Lakeview. There was no Wrigleyville then. And then the team improved, and then that's when, more businesses started to open, more bars, more restaurants. got more gentrified. The rents went up. All of that stuff. It's like post 1984. That's when things started to change, and they keep changing, and rents keep going up, and everything in that neighborhood,
especially lately, drastically changed.
Yeah.
If you haven't been to Wrigleyville, I guess, we'll call it, or at Wrigley Field in the last couple of when did it all open? Like within the last 2 years, for sure.
For sure,
you need to go back, and you will probably need a map because you won't know where you're.
Listen,
at.
I lived in that neighborhood for 18 years. Okay. The first 18 years of my life I spent in that neighborhood. And when I go back, whenever I go back to Wrigley, I look around, I don't recognize anything.
Yeah.
It looks insanely different than it was when I was a kid.
Me too. I lived in Albany Park, so when I would drive into the studios here, I would have to pass through right by Wrigley Field on Clark Street.
Sure.
And so then I moved downtown. And I went back. I moved before they started all of that construction.
And the
next time I went back, it was done. And I literally, I think I walked out of the, I walked in the back where the CTA trains are at. And
right.
I walked in from there, and I recognized that side. When I got to the other side where Clark's at, I didn't even know where I was at.
It's crazy. Crazy. All right. Now we're talking baseball here. If you want to jump in, who were your favorite players? Who were your heroes growing up? 312-981-7200. Here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, Nick. The reason I called was, I can't tell you it was, Zambrano, but,
we know that now. We got that, Jim.
Right, right. Well, some of my favorites were, Steve Carlton and Fergie Jenkins, because they would pitch 300-plus innings year after year.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it was Judy, but I don't know if she mentioned Paul Molitor from Milwaukee.
She mentioned Craig Counsell.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, Paul Molitor. Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he is. Paul Molitor is a Hall of Famer. Yes, sir. Great player as well. Jim, thanks. Let's see. Here is Eddie on WGN. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, guys?
All right, buddy. What's up?
Nothing much. I just wanted to talk to you a little about what's going on with some of our favorite players.
Who?
Right?
Yeah, who?
Well, you know, let's go back first with Frank Robinson. If you remember when they played with the Orioles, that they had Brooks Robinson, the third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were in the series, what an outstanding team the Orioles were in that series. And I just wanted to include that my favorite player was Ron Santo. And the biggest thing that I can remember him was he had gone into that hitting streak back, I believe it was 67 or 68, where he got hit with a pitch that on the face that took him out of the hitting streak that he was going for. I remember for a third pitch. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I was too young to remember that, but I know of it.
Oh, man. And that's where it came out, that then everybody started wearing those little shoes on the side of the helmet.
Right.
Take them from the hit.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And, yeah. So, let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Eddie, thank you for the call. We got some texts that were coming in. 847 area code says, my favorite players when I was a kid were Ron Santo and Ernie Banks. Yeah. That's, you know, that's Ernie Banks was when I was a kid. Ernie Banks was like my hero. Scott from Streamwood said Pete Rose and Roberto Clemente. 847 says Mickey Mantle, and then Carrie says, "Hey Nick, that was an awesome story." I think she's talking about the Ron Santo story. So, true story though, true story. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I gotta say though, when I was a kid. My favorite Cub of that era, besides, you know, like the legendary guys, you know, like your Ernie Banks and your Ron Santo and stuff. But I was really young, like I think too young to really appreciate, you know, guys like Ernie Santo, Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, you know, Billy Williams, all those guys. But in my era, like when I was like, you know, 12, 10, 11 years old, Rick Monday was my favorite Cub. I loved Rick Monday. I thought he was a great player. I thought he was really cool. And so, you know, I know he's not gone down in history as a Hall of Famer. He's not, you know, considered one of the legendary Cubs of all time, But I just happen to really love Rick Monday. So he was my favorite player when I was a kid, Rick Monday. I like Bill Buckner a lot. I know people in Boston hate him. But with the ironic thing about that whole Game 6 fiasco that Buckner, I mean, it's just he's going to be remembered as, and he still is just remembered by that the ball going through his legs during Game 6. But what's ironic about it is he was a great fielder. Like he was phenomenal on defense, and he was a great hitter too. I loved Bill Buckner and his mustache. But yeah, Rick Monday. When I was a kid, Rick Monday was my man. He was my man. Let's see. It's Raheem on WGN. Hi, Raheem.
Hey there. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
I'm blessed, man. I done seen all the good players, all the way back to Roy Campanella. I've seen all of my as a kid growing up here in Nashville, Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Ron Santo. But who I think is the best baseball player I've seen in my lifetime was the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. I saw that over the shoulder catch in the World Series he did. But, Mickey Mantle, Warren Spahn, I could just name them, but I was fortunate enough to see them. When I was a kid, I would sit at the TV watching one game and had two radios going on with for each year.
That's good, man.
I mean, I was the first African-American Andy Frame Ursher. So yeah. I was able to witness a lot of things.
Yeah, that's great, but, man. That's great. Lots of great memories right there, man.
And nothing like seeing a good baseball game on a warm day.
Yeah,
coming up and seeing what was. I mean, things were so different where you were able to feel the game. The players were so nice, man. To you, they would shake your hands, autograph your ball.
Yeah,
it was such a good era.
Yeah, it was a great time. Yeah, you got to see some great stuff, Raheem. We got a break though. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking baseball here, trying to warm things up. We lost Frank Robinson, who was a legend and a historic figure. And I thought we would just talk about some of our favorite baseball players of all time and some of our heroes. And 312-981-7200 for talking text. Got a bunch of texts coming in. We got a bunch of people on the line. Everybody, hang on. We'll talk more baseball stuff right after this. Welcome back. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, but we're not doing any of our regular features. We'll do them next week. Fly Jams Friday, straight out of context. Nick D show spies, you big dummy. Dan Chagrou is out, excuse me, is out sick. Ben, thank you for filling in. All right. I got some texts here. We're talking baseball, and we're talking our favorite players and who were our heroes when we were growing up, or some of the more colorful baseball characters that we've seen over the years that we like. 608 area code says, my dad left garbage cans in the back of the pickup after he bowled amazingly. We've always believed in the jinx because of the Cubs. Whatever you wore the last time the Cubs won, you had to wear again the next time they played. Well, those superstitions are always hilarious. I remember I've told this story on the air before, but Ben, I was at my friend's house and we were watching. It was during the 2010 run for the Cup, and so and I was at a guy's apartment, big apartment, and it was nothing. These guys were hardcore. We were all hardcore Hawks fans, and so we're all there. We're watching the game, and there were, a guy, one of our friends got up and went to the bathroom, and while he was in the bathroom, the Hawks scored, and so when he came out of the bathroom, he came back in. We were like, you have to go back in the bathroom, so we made him stay in the bathroom for the rest of the game, and there was a TV in the bathroom too. There was a small TV in the bathroom, but everybody forced him to go back, and you have to stay in the bathroom. And the Hawks ended up winning, so of course we were correct to make the guy stay in the bathroom.
That's awesome.
But
And I had a similar situation this year where when I didn't have to be here, because typically I'm here Sunday evenings, when the Bears were playing and I was able to watch, anytime I took the dog outside, I'd miss a scoring play.
So, I just kept staying outside with the dog?
And, it was just like, let's go outside.
Yeah, that's good. I love those kind of sports superstition stories. They're just so ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, we forced the guy to go back in the can. We're like, no, you can't. You have to... And it wasn't just, there were like 15 people in the apartment, and everybody was like, get him back in the bathroom now. And, you know, like, you know, because we watched a lot of that run at that apartment, you know. And so, like, we had to sit in the same spots if they won. We had to stand where, if you were standing at some point, that you'd have to stand. Whatever sweater we were wearing, you know, jersey or whatever, we would have to wear that one. It was just, it's ridiculous. So, 630 area code says, I grew up in Boston, and I got to see Ted Williams, Jimmy Pearsall, and Joe DiMaggio play, and Lou Boudreau was manager. Wow. Those are some names right there. Wow. Nick, mine was Billy the Whistler Williams. That was Keith from Arlington Heights, but he's vacationing in Hong Kong. Look at that. He's on vacation in Hong Kong, and he's still listening. God bless him. That's pretty fantastic. Billy Williams, Randy Huntley, Ron Santo, Fergie Jenkins. We used to spend a whole dollar to get into the bleachers. I lived across Clark on Patterson. We got into the bleachers for 50 cents in the 50s. My first legal drink was at Bernie's at Clark and Waveland. It was served by Bernie himself. And then 312 area code favorite player, Tom Seaver from the Mets, 1969. 708 area code says, hey, remember Rick Monday took the flag in L.A. onto the field? Two guys tried to burn the U.S. flag. That's the legendary Rick Monday story. When you say Rick Monday, you immediately think American flag. That's a legendary story.
That's the first thing I go to.
Yeah.
Like anytime I hear the name.
Yeah.
Before I even remember, oh yeah, he was a Cubs player. Like, I remember that moment.
He was my favorite Cub. I mean, pre-American flag. And that was cool. That was amazing what he did. But he was my favorite. Before he even did that, he was my favorite Cub. Let's see. 847 area code says, I loved Ivan De Jesus at shortstop. Yeah. And Bobby Mercer and Wright. Those were my favorites. Bobby Mercer loved Barbie Mercer. 309 says, Richie Allen was great. Terry says, Kelly Leak. Kelly Leak. From the Bad News Bears. That's what you got to go. You got to go Kelly Leak. Also can ride a motorcycle like nobody's business. Not so good at air hockey, though.
I love that somebody like put that out there.
Kelly Leak, man. Bad News Bears, as far as I'm concerned, best baseball movie ever made.
So one of my favorites is a little guy by the name of Henry Rowan Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've got, you know, everybody's got the T-shirt, you know, made in, you know, a jersey that's like on their T-shirt.
Yeah.
So I got one that's Rowan Gardner.
Oh, nice.
And everything. So I'll go to the stadium and just from, you know, rows up behind me, I'll hear Rudemucker, Rosenbagger.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. That's cool, you know, because I've got like I screened last month in January for my film club screening. I screened Slapshot, which is one of my favorite movies ever. And I wore my Reggie Dunlap jersey.
You know,
Chiefs Reggie Dunlap jersey.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if he intended to do it, but I think Harry, when Harry filled in for you last week,
uh-huh.
I think he just sped an homage out to you because we played, you know, a couple pieces from Slapshot.
Oh, you did?
We did.
Well, there's not a lot you can play from Slapshot on the air.
No, there's not. There's not.
I had a challenge. Yeah, of course. That's very challenging. I mean, because a lot of the stuff from Slapshot that you would play on the air would just be beep. Yep. That's it.
Yep. Now we use the locker room, you know, when they're trying to get pepped up and
Oh yeah. That's you can do that with the Hanson brothers. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Such a great movie. All right, Steve, the limo driver. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm trying to relight my furnace pilot light here.
All right. I'm glad you got your priorities. You're calling in while you have no heat.
That's the only reason I was listening. I had to drive to Walmart to get the long neck lighter.
All right.
Two stories. First of all, I guess my favorite player would be Soriano, because when my kids got like to be teenagers, I took them to see their first Cubs game. About the eighth inning or something, when the good seats started to clear out or whatever, I snuck down there by myself and sat in like the seventh row or something of the box seats before I was going to get thrown out for, you know, a little while. And I think it was Soriano was a slow point in the game, and Soriano looked over towards where I was sitting, and I waved, and he waved back at me. So I guess Soriano's my favorite player, but I've got a good opening day story.
All right, you got to make it quick because I got to hit the news.
It was like, it had to be 1970 or something. My boss, it was like my first job. I was 9 years old, and my dad had just died, and he had opening day tickets, and he was supposed to take his son, and he took me instead. And I was forbid to talk about it later, you know, in front of his family because nobody, you know, he didn't want his kid to know that he took me instead of his kid. But it was opening day. It was like April 3rd or something. It was cold like it was today.
Yeah.
So we froze our butts off there. But it had to be like 1970 because my dad died in 69.
Right.
It had to be that season right after that they lost to the Mets.
Got it. Yes. That's we all. Yes. Steve, I have to go to the news.
Good. Have a nice day.
All right. Take care. he took him instead of his own kid. All right. Let's break. More baseball stuff after the news, which is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio until 5 a.m. Ben is producing. Vic is in the newsroom. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We've been talking about baseball and your favorite baseball players and your heroes, and we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 if you would like to join us via talk or text. Okay, we got more baseball players that we're going to be talking about, and all kinds of cool stuff. Here's Jerry, who's in Des Plaines on WGN. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. I go back a lot more years. Maybe you don't remember them, but in the '40s, I think one of my favorites were Hank Sauer and Minnie Minoso.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to work there. If you got a gunny sack and you walk across the whole inside the park, up and then back, they gave you a free ticket for the next game.
Mm.
And there was on the left field outside, there was the brick stuck out. And you could work your way up the side of the wall. The police would look the other way. When you got up to the top, someone would grab your belt and pull you up. What? And that's how we used to sneak in sometimes. Yeah. But I don't know if this goes way, not too many before. They used to have bull riding at the Wrigley Field during the game. It would fence off part of left field, and the people could sign up, and I think they would let two people ride a bull.
Wow.
For entertainment.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, that was really unusual. I remember they used to advertise it a lot on the buses and everything else. That was way back before, probably before your time.
Wait, oh yeah, sure. I don't remember. I never remember bulls being in Wrigley Field. That's a
no.
So yeah,
that was in the '40s. Too many people. Not two people do or still are around.
Yeah.
When that happened.
Yeah. All right, Jerry. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Take care. Wow, bull riding at Wrigley. The hell. So I forgot to mention one of my favorite Cub players of all time, and
do tell,
Mickey Morandini. The only jersey that I have with a name on it is a Morandini jersey. And I just love Mickey Morandini. I thought in 98 he was my favorite Cub. I loved him when he was on the Phillies. I've always loved Mickey Morandini. He's one of my favorites. And if I'm not mistaken, he is first base coach with the Phillies now. I think. But so Mickey Morandini, you know, it's unusual that it's unusual for someone to like Mickey Morandini as much as I do. He was really seriously on that 98 team. He was by far my favorite Cub. I have a Mickey Morandini Cubs jersey. It's the and I have like three or four. I've known four or five Cubs jerseys. Okay, the only one that has a name on. No, I have one that says DiGilio on the back because they gave it to me when I sang the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley. So they give you a jersey with your name on it. They give you a box of balls to sign, baseballs, and a hat, which I'm wearing right now. This hat on the side is what's cool about this hat, this Cubs hat, is that on the side here it says seventh inning stretch singer. And only if you sing the seventh inning stretch, you get this hat. So this is my favorite Cub hat right here. So anyway, the only jersey with a player's name on it that I have is Morandini. So my girlfriend at the time bought it for me for my birthday. And she had ordered it from Sports World, which right across the street from Wrigley on Addison and Clark, corner of Addison and Clark. So she ordered it from there. And, you know, they didn't know whether it was going to be ready or not by my birthday. So what she did was, like, she put the receipt in the birthday card she gave me. And, you know, she's like, it's not ready yet, but I got you your Mickey Morandini jersey. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I called Sports World. This is a true story. I called Sports World to see if it's ready. And the guy answers the phone, and I go, yeah, I'm just checking to see if my a jersey that my girlfriend ordered is ready. And he's like, what name is it under? So I gave the guy my girlfriend's last name, and he's like, oh, okay, let me go check. So he puts the phone down, and he's away for a little while, and he comes back, and he goes, hello? And I go, yeah. And he goes, is it a Morandini jersey? And I go, yes. And he goes, well, yeah, it's here. Like, it was like he couldn't believe that I had ordered a Mickey Morandini jersey. And then when he said, yeah, it's here, as if it's here if you want to pick it up. So there was a general note of disdain in the guy's voice because I had ordered a Mickey Morandini jersey. So it's my favorite jersey. And it's what's really funny is I'm like I had Mickey Morandini on my show. I've had him on a few times, and he's a great guy. He's a truly, truly great guy. I don't know if he still lives in Indiana or not during the off season, but he was like a little league coach for a while, and he lived in Indiana. So I had him on the show a couple times. And I told him how much, you know, I thought he was great and I loved him and all that stuff. And then I told him, I had him on one time, and I go, you know, I have a Mickey Morandini jersey. And then he goes, well, that makes two of us. So what's funny is that, you know, people who listen to this show for years know, you know, that I have a Mickey Morandini jersey. And so whenever I go to Wrigley and I wear my Morandini jersey, people go, DiGilio, because they know it's me, because it's not going to be anybody else. Nobody else has a Mickey Morandini jersey. But Morandini is one of my favorite players. Seriously, one of my favorite Cubs of all time. Of all time. And he was also on the legendary 1993 Phillies, one of my favorite teams of all time. That team is just ridiculous. And then they lose the World Series to the Blue Jays, and of course it's because of Mitch Williams, Joe Carter. Anyway, so I was rooting for the Phillies that year in '93. Because they were just so much fun to watch. They were lunatics. At the beginning of the season, they were picked to finish fifth, you know, and do nothing. And it was just a motley crew, including Morandini. But there was Incavalia, there was Dykstra, there was Dalton, there was Kruk, all those guys. And they were just, like, they were slobs. They got drunk all the time. They were just, like, they were not, you know, it was just this ragtag group of, like, dirty, fat, drunk guys who basically were written off at the beginning of the season. Everybody thought they had no business being in the playoffs or the World Series. They made it all the way to the World Series in a very impressive run. But some of the stories are amazing about this team. My favorite one being that they had a doubleheader the next day after a night game. And they were playing in the night game, and it went to extra innings, like, way late at night. Like, it was, and so they had a doubleheader the next day. So the game ends, and it's like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning or something. So they've got to have, you know, they have to have batting practice. You know, they get up for batting practice. They got to do their practice and everything. It's like 10 a.m. They got to be out on the field and all that stuff. So so the game ends. It's like 1:30, quarter to 2. And they decide, some of the guys decide they're not going to go home. They're just going to sleep in the clubhouse. And so it was like, it was the usual suspects, Dalton, Nikavalia, Dykstra, Mordini, Kruk, a couple of other guys. So they order some pizzas. They get a bunch of pizzas delivered, and they get a bunch of beer, like a ton of beer. And they proceed to get hammered, okay? So they get loaded. They eat a bunch of pizza. They drink a bunch of beer. They get drunk. They pass out in the clubhouse wearing the uniforms that they – still wearing the uniforms that they had on for the night game. They wake up in the morning, pizza boxes, like, you know, the crew starts to come in, and they walk in, and there's like eight guys laying on, you know, sleeping in their uniforms. There's pizza boxes everywhere, beer cans all over the place. They're clearly, you know, they didn't go to sleep. They passed out, you know. And so they start to wake up. They get up and everything. And they basically – and they played the game in the uniform. They didn't take a shower or anything. They played the games in the uniforms that they wore the night before that they slept in after getting drunk. Kruk was too hungover to play in the first game, but he went 3-for-4 with like 3 RBIs in the second game. I think they split the doubleheader that day, but that's one of my favorite stories of all time. It's one of my favorite baseball stories of all time.
I've never heard that.
It's amazing. They get hammered, they fall asleep, they get up the next day, play the games in the same uniform they wore the night before. That was the 93 Phillies. Those were the kind of stories that you would hear about that team. And one of my other favorites was there were a bunch of fans and kids and stuff like that there early, you know, for batting practice to get balls autographed and stuff. You know, they would go down to the front. And,
yeah.
So Kruk is John Kruk, who, by the way, retired as on the White Sox. Retired on the White Sox. Do you know how he retired?
No.
He hit a single, okay? He gets to first base, and he's like, yeah, listen, I'm going to retire. I'm leaving right now because he wanted to beat the traffic. So he gets a single, gets to first. They have a pinch runner come out, and he leaves. And he retired because he wanted to beat the traffic.
Wow. Yeah.
But anyway, so John Kruk, who was also an amazing, a great character, you know, no matter what team he was on, he's walking down, and he's going to sign some autographs. He's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, okay? He's smoking.
Oh, even better.
Cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he walks up, and he signs, like, so he's about to sign some kid's ball, and he's about to sign it. And the woman, I guess the mother of the boy, says, you know, you shouldn't be smoking. You're an athlete. And he takes the cigarette out of his mouth. He goes, lady, I'm not an athlete. I'm a baseball player. 93 Phillies, baby.
I do have an answer for you.
For
Morandini, what he's doing now.
Oh.
He's no longer coaching.
Oh, okay.
On the Phillies staff. But he has been named ambassador for the Phillies.
So of course.
He represents the organization at various functions.
Oh, good for
community,
him. Cool.
Stuff like that.
I think they should have made him an ambassador for the Cubs. But he spent more time, and he had more, you know, better years with the Phillies. I mean, he went to a World Series with the Phillies, so you know that's more than the same what he did with the Cubs. So, but yeah, no, that's the 93 Phillies, the legendary team, just legendary team. What a bunch of goofballs, I'm telling you. And they went to the World Series, yeah. My friends and I were so rooting for those guys, man, so rooting for them. It was funny. One of my buddies got married. I think it was game 4 or something of the series. And, you know, the Cubs weren't in it. So why did we care so much, you know, but my friends and I were just so enamored with the 93 Phillies and just such, you know, with all these insane stories and these idiots on the team that during the reception, like two of my friends stood up, they were in the bridal party. And, but we kept leaving the reception and running across the street to the parking lot because the parking attendant had a TV in his booth because he was in the parking booth, and he had a TV, and we just kept running running across the street, guys in tuxes running across the street. Well, you know, the groom is in there going, where the hell are my friends? And we're all across the street in the parking lot, huddled around this guy's TV, watching the Phillies in the World Series. Bunch of morons. All right, we got to take a break. We're talking baseball, your favorite players, your heroes. 312-981-7200. Yeah, so we're having some fun here. If you want to jump in, talk or text 312-981-7200. I got a bunch of texts coming in. Phone lines are open if you want to jump in. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. Bob Collins passed away 19 years ago today, so we're going to play some Bob Collins audio remembering Uncle Bobby. Such a great guy, such a wonderful character, and taken from us way too soon, and I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget it. 19 years ago today, Bob passed away. So we're going to hear some great Bob Collins clips a little bit later on. We got Blackhawks Express to play back, too. A really good one, man. They've won six in a row now. The Hawks are looking good. A little exciting. I'm telling you, especially after the way this season started, man. It's been really fun to watch this team. And big win last night. A really big and important win for the Hawks, man. I'm telling you. They're just, it's fun to watch them now. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We are talking about baseball and your favorite baseball players and who were your heroes when you were growing up. Who were your favorite baseball players in general? 312-981-7200. We've heard some great stories, too. So keep them coming, text or talk. We got some texts here that I'm going to read. 419 area code says, best all-around player I've ever saw in person was Ken Griffey Jr. Amazing baseball player. I saw him his rookie year in spring training. Fly ball to the track, dead center. Guy at second tagged. Junior threw it on the fly to third. Third baseman didn't have to move his glove from the bag. Runner was out by four steps. Third out, he came jogging into the dugout with a great big smile. Most amazing thing I've ever seen. That's Sean and Indy. I have a quick Ken Griffey Jr. story. Quick story. There was a guy on the Cubs named Corey Patterson who I hated. I hated him. He's a shortstop on the Cubs. One of the worst hitters I've ever seen in my life. Swung at the first pitch every single time. One of the most undisciplined hitters I've ever seen. He drove me absolutely nuts when he was on the team. So I'm sitting in the bleachers. I'm sitting in the center field bleachers. Okay, with my ex-wife, my dad, and a couple of other people. And Patterson was having a bad, I mean, well, like usual, he was, you know, he was like 0 for 3 at this point. And, you know, and like I said, swung at the first pitch every time, sometimes the first two pitches, even if they were over his head, if it was, you know, just a bit outside, if it was a pitch like that, Patterson would swing at it. No question about it. So he drove me nuts, and he wasn't like, you know, I mean, he was an okay fielder, but he was a terrible, undisciplined hitter, and he made me absolutely crazy. So he's up to bat, and we're in a position to score some runs. I think we had, I can't remember what was on base, but yeah, we had a man at least on second, so he's in scoring position. So Patterson comes up, and I'm like, this is the worst possible guy to have up right now. And so I start heckling him from the center field bleachers. I start screaming at him, let's see if you swing at the first pitch. And then he swings at the first pitch. I'm like, oh, there's a shocker. Oh, my God. You know? And so I'm heckling the hell out of him. And Ken Griffey Jr. is playing center field. So he's right in front of us. Like, we were in the third row center field bleachers. So Jr.'s right there. Okay, so I'm screaming, just giving. I had had a few beers at this point, and I'm screaming at Patterson. And people are in the bleachers are, you know, they're laughing. They're not mad at me because he had a terrible day and he was a terrible hitter. So I start screaming. I'm screaming at him some more. He ends up getting a hit. Okay, so he gets on base. He's on first. Now I believe, I don't know, maybe it's first and third now. I can't remember who was up. I can't remember who followed Corey Patterson, but whoever it was. This was probably 2001, maybe 2000. No. No, maybe it was a little bit later than that. 2003, 2004, something like that. So anyway, the next batter comes up, and I can't remember what Cub it is. And he, He gets his count to 3-2. Okay, so he's at 3-2. So I scream out, "Hey, Corey, look at that! You've never seen that count in your entire life." You know, it's a 3-2 count. Griffey turns around and he's laughing his ass off. Like, Junior's laughing, and he looks over at me and he starts shaking his head yes, and he's laughing. He puts like the glove over his mouth because he was laughing. I made Ken Griffey Jr. laugh by heckling my own teammate.
That's amazing. Yeah. God, you have some really good baseball stories.
Well, and my friends and I went on a baseball trip back in 1992. We rented a van, and six of us went to the East Coast, stopping in at a bunch of stadiums on the way there, and we went to Cooperstown and everything.
Oh, cool.
And we went. It was the first year of Camden Yards in Baltimore that they opened. And we got to go the first year. Beautiful park.
That's awesome.
We went to Baltimore. We went to the old Yankee Stadium. We went to Cleveland. Where the hell else did we go? Baltimore, Cleveland, Yankee Stadium, and the Hall of Fame. So it was a fun trip. It was a really fun trip.
That's a really cool.
And
trip.
It was a great trip. Let's see. Donna says, "Remember when Jose Cardenal was on the team? Hey, Jose was written in cups on the fence." Oh yeah, they would stick the cups, the empty beer cups in the fence.
Yeah.
And they would spell out, "Hey, Jose." 312, Johnny Bench, great player. Pete Rose, the Big Red Machine. I was 8 or 9 years old and learning about baseball. The Reds were hot. I still love number 5 and number 14, even though I bleed Cubby Blue. Well, they were great players. Great players. Man, I'll tell you something. Cincinnati Reds at that time period, oh, my God. Good Lord, those guys. Amazing teams. All right, we got to take a break here. The news is coming up next. More baseball talk. We want to hear from you. Who are your favorite players? Who are your heroes? If you've got some baseball stories, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday, but we're not doing any of the regular Friday features. No fly jams, no straight out of context Nick D Show spies, or You Big Dummy. That'll return next week. Dan Shugru is out sick today, and he usually handles all of those things, so we're going to skip that stuff this morning and just continue to talk. Bob Collins passed away 19 years ago today, so we're going to pay tribute to Bob, talk a little bit about him, and if you guys want to call in a little later with your stories, and we're going to play some classic Bob Collins audio this morning in remembrance of Uncle Bobby. That's all coming up. Right now we're talking about baseball. Frank Robinson passed away, and we talked about him and went over his career, talked about what an amazing player and a historic figure in baseball he was. And that got us to talking about baseball. It's really cold outside, so baseball talk gets us a little bit warmer. And talking about your favorite baseball players and your heroes and baseball stories and all that cool stuff. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. The phone lines are open and the texts are coming in. And so if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. So Ben is producing this morning. You said you have a baseball memory or story.
I do. First baseball game I ever went to. So okay. I grew up a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
So I grew
you're,
up.
You're from here.
Suburbs, but yeah. But yeah. So I would grow up with Ryan Sandberg, Awesome Dawson. Those were my heroes.
Absolutely.
Growing
and
up
they
and
playing they ball. Should be. They were amazing players.
So the first baseball game I ever went to was on a family trip to visit some family out in the Bay Area in California. So we all went to an Oakland A's game. And
oh, okay.
They were playing the White Sox.
Ah.
And I was just mad. Because my first game was not a Cubs game.
It was a White Sox game.
So I was just, not happy the entire time. And now I look back and realize what I actually witnessed. Because I watched the White Sox with Ozzie Guillen, Carlton Fisk take on the A's with Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco. I mean, it was 87.
Great players. Great players. Yeah, but you were just mad because it was not the Cubs.
Yep.
I can understand that.
And couldn't appreciate what I was actually witnessing.
Yeah. I love baseball. You know, it's my second favorite sport. Hockey's my favorite sport. But baseball, man, you know, it's one of those deals. I know some people are like, it's so boring. It moves so slowly. You know, and all the some of the changes that they're making, you know, the whole when you they don't pitch the balls for a walk now, you automatically just go to first. I hate that. And it's like, oh, we want to speed up the game. No, because, you know, there's a possibility for a wild pitch. You know what I'm saying? In that regard, maybe a batter is just going to, you know, screw with the pitcher and swing at something and hit it. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And so this automatic walk stuff, I can't stand. And now they're proposing a universal DH. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
No.
No, I mean, well, yeah.
I'm just saying that I am anti DH. I hate the DH. It's one of the reasons why, I'm not an American League guy.
There's a whole bunch of new rule stuff.
Yeah.
That's slated.
Yeah.
They're talking about lowering the mound again.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't get why.
The general managers had already talked about legislating home plate collisions out of baseball before Scott Cousins ran over Buster Posey. But that particular moment in 2011 seemed to fully define the risks at hand, the possibility of a young franchise career ruined by an outlier play. And then the rules were changed. Similarly, Chase Utley's postseason slide into Ruben Tejada in 2015 accelerated eventual discussions to protect middle infielders. And so now they're talking about another rule change, and that's the universal DH. And I also, you know what else I can't stand? Here's two things that I can't stand about baseball. Two things I can't stand about baseball. The DH is number two, but it doesn't really affect me that much because I'm a National League guy.
Okay.
All right. So, but I hate interleague play. I hate it. I've always hated it. And I especially hate it when the Cubs play the Sox. I hate it. I think that the only time the American League and the National League should play is in one game, and that's the World Series.
I like that thinking.
It was the thinking for many, 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 many years, yeah. And then the DH comes in, but then they do the interleague play. You know, the crosstown, you know, when they used to do the crosstown classic when it didn't count, but it was just like an exhibition game. Look how fun it is for the Cubs to play the Sox and blah, blah, blah. But now it counts, and it makes me even more mad. You know, I hate interleague play. I can't stand it.
That is one of my other, probably my second most favorite baseball moment. I was sitting seventh row looking straight down third baseline when Barrett punched Pierzynski.
Oh.
I was right there.
Here's the thing about that. You were at that game.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing about that. I have mixed feelings about that. Here's why. It makes me, you know, the punch to Pierzynski makes me happy, okay? Because he's an amazing player, though. Pierzynski's an amazing baseball player. I hate him. He's an amazing baseball player. But my problem was, you know, like, him getting punched in the face is all right with me. The problem is that it was Michael Barrett, who was an idiot.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. Michael Barrett, if anybody else would have punched him, I would have been much happier. But Michael Barrett was a moron. I felt mixed about it. I was like, I was happy that Pierzynski got punched in the face. I was not happy with who threw the punch. So, but that's cool that you were there, though.
Yeah, it was.
That's
it was
awesome.
Pretty awesome. I couldn't believe it. You know, something so iconic, I can come back.
No,
and say,
that's great. I was there. I was at that game. Yeah. You know what game I could have gone to, but we didn't go to, my ex-wife and I?
Which one?
This is a hockey game. Oh my God. We could have been. We could have been at Game 5, Nashville, 2010.
Oh,
I'm telling you, we were like, nah, because it was a day game. It was an afternoon game. It was a Sunday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. And so we were offered tickets because I got a pretty good connection with the Hawks, you know. And so I've been to like a ton of games, and my connection is pretty strong there. So they offered us tickets for this game, and my wife and I were like, nah, we were busy or something like that. That we were busy like after the game or whatever. Uh-huh. So we watched it at home. We were watching the game at home, and for people don't for me, that's my favorite Hawks game of all time, and I'm not kidding. And I know they've won three cups in the last, you know, 16 years, or not 15 years, like 9 years. So I know that that's an accomplishment. And yes, when they won the cup in 2010, I lost my mind. In 2013, it was insane.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, it was great. I mean, every time. But that game, Game 5 Nashville, the way that ended up was insane. You watched the game, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, so my favorite player, my favorite Hawk player, basically, and I don't know if of all, maybe of all time, is Marian Hossa.
Okay.
And I miss him terribly. And I'm just sad that, you know, how he had to retire and all that stuff. So Hossa, who's not known for stupid penalties, you know what I mean? He's not at all. And so stupid penalty, Hossa, boom. Okay, he gets a 5 minute he gets a 5 minute major. Has to get, it was a terrible hit too. It was unnecessary. So Hossa's in the Hawks are down one. So Hossa's in the box. Kaner scores, ties the game with like 12 seconds left. All right, so now it's a tie game. And so Kaner scores, game is tied, and then did he score and then Hossa?
I don't remember.
I can't remember what the order was, but anyway, remember. It was Kaner tied it up. Hossa still had it was after the penalty.
Okay.
Kaner tied it up. Hossa's in the box, and we had to, you know, so now it's going to overtime. Now, as you know, during the playoffs, you take a full intermission. Like it's not counted. Like the overtime is just another period. You take a full intermission, not a short intermission, to go to overtime. So now we've got to wait, you know, like 18 minutes or whatever for this, and it was the longest wait ever. So finally, the game comes back on. They're in overtime. The game comes back on. For people who don't know how it ended, it couldn't have been more dramatic. And I'm not kidding when I said this. So now the Hawks have, I think, about 4.5 minutes left on Hossa's major. So they're going to be shorthanded for 4.5 minutes, and you know, all they got to do is score. You know, if Nashville scores, obviously game over, and the Hawks lose.
Yeah.
So, Hossa's in the box. Overtime period starts, and I'm losing my mind. It's like, and I swear to you, I said this to my wife. I said, don't worry about it. They'll kill the penalty. Hossa will get out of the box, score the game winning goal. I said that. I'm not kidding. I said that. And so we're pacing around the apartment while we're watching this game. And it was seriously, I couldn't contain myself. I was chewing on my nails. I was walking around. Longest 4 minutes of my life. They kill the penalty. We're like, yes, they killed the penalty. Hossa gets out and scores the game-winning goal. I'm telling you, I lost my mind. I lost my mind. One of my favorite moments in Hawk history. And I could have been at that game. My ex-wife, by the way, is a huge Hawks fan. Knows her hockey. And I'll tell you something, man. In my opinion, there's nothing sexier than a woman who knows her hockey. I'm telling you. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we were both looking at each other, like after the initial jumping up and down and going, oh my God, I can't believe it. This was unbelievable. It was absolutely amazing. And Marian Hossa is my man. He's the king. We both like looked at each other and, you know, knowingly, we're just like, you know, we could have been at that game. We could have been there. One of my big regrets in life was turning those tickets down.
Man.
And I don't even know. Why the hell did we turn them down? I can't even remember why we turned them down. But I could have been at that game.
That, yeah.
One of the greatest moments in Chicago Blackhawks history. We could have witnessed it live. I'm an idiot. All right, let's take a break. We've got a bunch of text here. We're talking baseball, not hockey, but we're going to jump into some more baseball stories and your favorite heroes of that sport. And if you want to jump in, lines are open, 312-981-7200. Oh. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate studio on the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 floors above downtown Chicago, and we're here till 5 a.m. I'm Nick DiGilio, your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., and Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. We've been talking about baseball and baseball players and your favorite heroes of the sport, and we would love to hear from you. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And by the way, we are going to pay tribute to Bob Collins after 4 o'clock. We're going to play a bunch of audio of Bob. And if you want to share your memories and your stories about Uncle Bobby, because it's the 19th anniversary of Bob Collins' passing, this morning, and after 4 o'clock, we'll begin a Bob Collins tribute by sharing our stories and our memories, and I'll be playing some really great audio of Uncle Bobby. So that's coming up on the show. Stay tuned for that. All right, bunch of texts here, and let's get to them. 847 area code says Roberto Clemente, again, amazing. 773 area code says, I worked at Wrigley for 2 seasons. That feeling of magic never goes away. My favorites from then were Rhino and Gracie. Yeah, Mark Grace. Loved Mark Grace. Loved him. Ryan Sandberg goes without saying. You know, amazing. Mark the Breadman says, born and raised a Sox fan. My favorite player growing up was Frank Thomas. And let's see. 312 area code. Morandini. Oh, this is true. Morandini had an unassisted triple play with the Phils. Yes, he did. Another reason to love Morandini. 312 says, yep, they had a rodeo there 1 year. I actually met Poncho, the Cisco Kid sidekick there. Oh, man. I know that historically they had a lot of different events at Wrigley. You know, I'm not surprised at rodeo, but the caller said that this was during a game, like before a game. I mean, I understand that they've had different events that weren't baseball, but you could ride a bull during a Cub game or part of a Cub game. It's very strange. 219 area code says, my favorite player to watch ever was Frank Thomas. Everything stopped when Frank came up to bat. By the way, I'm both a Cubs and Sox fan. I love them both. I coach against Morandini and had Kittle's son on my team. Wow, that's cool. That's pretty cool, man. I love baseball. You know, Ron Kittle posts a lot on Facebook. I follow Ron Kittle on Facebook. He posts every morning around this time.
Really?
Yeah, usually like between 4 and 4:30, because I'll check Facebook like during the news or a break or something like that. I'll scroll down and see what's happening on Facebook. And Kittle gets up early every morning. And he's got a big presence on Facebook. So,
Not a surprise.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool. Coached against Morandini and had Kittle's son on his team. That's all right, man. 630 area code says, I always loved Bobby Mercer. He was great. Bobby Mercer was a great player. Great player. Came over to give me an autograph in May of 1979, and let me in on a little secret that he wouldn't be there much longer. He was traded the next day. Wow. Mercer giving away secrets. Jeez. 785 area code says, greatest baseball moment of my life was seeing George Brett. George Brett, such a great player, but as I say, every time George Brett is mentioned, it's unfortunate. You know, one of the best players to ever play the game, had incredible numbers, was a great hitter, incredible fielder. But you know, whenever you first mention George Brett, first thing I think of is pine tar. That's the first thing I think of, and the second thing I think of is hemorrhoids, and that's just because those two things were, you know, they were big stories at the time. You know, he suffered from hemorrhoids, made that very clear. And so, like, instead of thinking, oh, yeah, I remember that play he made, or, oh, yeah, I remember the stats that he had this year, and I remember that that clutch triple that he hit. No. You say George Brett, hemorrhoids and pine tar. That's the that should be the name of his autobiography, hemorrhoids and pine tar. But it's unfortunate. It is, because he's such a great player. Here's Tom in Wilmington on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Nick. Like your show, listen every morning on my way to work.
Thank you.
Back in the day, when Bill Veeck owned the White Sox, my parents were newly married, and they used to run all kinds of promotional things. Like, you remember he put the midget up the bat one time?
Yeah, yep.
Well, they had this look underneath your seat for the number thing going on, and I guess it was underneath my mother's seat. They said, come down and claim your prize. It was two Mexican burros, donkeys. It was like when they behind box number 3, you know, yeah. Like the booby prize. But my dad said, we'll take them. And he put them in a pickup truck and took them. And he had some land out in Bayless, and they were mean. He finally got rid of them. They used to bite. They'd take the cigarettes out of your pocket, your front pocket.
Oh,
you know,
man, that's fantastic. That is fantastic.
Like when I was a kid at Comiskey, when Harry Carey used to be with the White Sox,
yeah.
And there was Falstaff beer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little kid, and back in that time, your dad could hand you $10 and send you off for a hot dog if you were 8 years old and not worry about you, you know?
Yeah.
And, well, here comes Harry Carey walking on the underlevel of Comiskey with a guy in a cow outfit, and I'm just mesmerized by it. He's holy cow for Falstaff beer.
Right.
So I grabbed this cow's tail, and it came off, and the security threw me out of the building.
No.
I was 8 years old. I had to take the $10 and buy a general admission to get back in. My dad was like, where's the hot dog? I said, I pulled holy cow's tail off. They threw me out.
That is outstanding. That is outstanding. I got to say, Tom, you know, I'm a Cub fan, not a Sox fan.
I know.
I spent a great deal of time in the 70s watching those Channel 44 broadcasts just because of Pearsall and Carey. Unbelievable, those guys. Unbelievable.
Well, hey, you talk about Harry Carey when he was back with the Cubs. Here's another little funny thing. He was with Steve Stone. You know Harry used to tip a few.
And
of course, the Cubs cameramen, they would always find the hottest women in the stands. You know? Well, they locked onto this couple, and every time, I mean, the guy would throw a pitch, and then they'd go back to this couple, and they were kissing.
Right.
And then the guy would throw a pitch, and then they'd go back, and now the girl's leaning over, kissing him, and they'd go back, and Harry's like, and you can tell he's had a few, and he's like, oh, I see what's going on here. She's kissing him on her. He's kissing her on the strikes, and she's kissing him on the ball.
Exactly. It was a classic moment. Here's one of my favorite Harry Carey's. One of my favorite Harry Carey moments was so they're he's with the Steve Stone, and Harry goes, "Hey, Steve, we got a group here from Kent State," and you know they're showing the group from Kent State that they're there, and he goes, "Hey, you went to Kent State, didn't you, Steve?" And Steve goes, yes, Harry, I did. And then Harry goes, and they didn't shoot you?
He was
a legend,
Harry,
man.
He used to enjoy his Budweiser.
Yeah, he did.
Before that.
He did, so, yeah. All right, Tom, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Those are great stories. Those are great. That's so funny. All right. You got a few more texts here. 773, Andre Dawson, Roberto Clemente, and Willie Mays. They were my favorite ball players that I got to see at Wrigley. 785 says, best moment I've ever had was seeing George Brett, Nolan Ryan, and Robin Yount inducted into the Hall of Fame in 99. Brett is the best player I've ever seen in person. 773, area code says, Nick, did you know that the Macho Man was in the St. Louis Cardinals organization as an outfielder before he became a wrestler? Yes, I did know that. I did know that. Margaret in Bridgeport says, hi, Nick. As a kid, I would win tickets to White Sox games for good grades. I got them for perfect attendance. They used to give them to me for perfect attendance. One time, my friends and I were watching the game, and we saw a streaker run across the field, and we started cheering, watching the exercise-deprived Andy Frayne run after the guy to try to catch him. Great times. You're dating yourself there, Margaret. Streakers and Andy Frayne's. That's a very, very specific time period. 312. Back in the day, my brother and I used to collect baseball cards. Mario Soto on the Reds seemed to come in almost every pack. Therefore, I can't remember a time when we didn't have a Mario Soto card in our spokes. That's great.